out with me. It'd be mad chaos going out, so always thankful for that. This time I'm going to invite our ushers to come forward as we continue to worship God through the giving of His tithes and our offerings. If you happen to have your bulletin handy, am I coming through here? Not so much. Slava? Are we coming through on this mic here? Just checking that, and I'll talk a little bit, and here we go, and not sure which. Do I need to use a different one? While they're working on that, I'll just talk really loudly. Can we hear me now? There you go. I'll put my camp voice on. Welcome to camp, everybody. Glad that you're here. It is awesome. Now, the first thing at camp that we need to notice is you guys are way too far back, and we may need to just move up a little bit so that I don't have to talk quite as loudly for the entire service, especially when we get to the sermon. So if we could maybe just do that. Wait, I'm going to you think I'm joking. I'm not. Seriously, we're going to move forward here. If and Vicky or you need to come up closer, because eventually my voice will give out and it'll sound like that. So we need to do that till they get that going. You have your bulletin handy. I'm just going to leave my belt pack on. If the sound happens I apologize for a blowout if I'm talking too loud, but yeah, that's what we got. Technology sometimes doesn't win for us. If you have your bulletin, inside you'll find a page, it's marked prayer notes. And we're gonna pull that out and mark some things down that we can be praying for alongside one another. And we're all nice and close, which is great, so we can hear one another as we're sharing our requests and we're sharing our praise items together. And then as we pray together, I will also invite you, allow you time to pray out loud if you so desire, something that's on your heart that you would like to pray for, or to just bring things before God, quietly, within your heart, just to rest with Him as well. And so we're going to use that time, this time, for that. It's congregational prayer. That is all of us, not just me. And so we all participate in this together, which is part of the community of faith that we are part of here, which is great. So if ever you can't hear me, if ever you can't hear me because I'm not talking loud enough, just wave, but now you don't have to worry about that, so that's all good. Thanks, guys. Just a couple of things that I've noted down here. Our children's ministry leaders and the volunteers that work with our children, that's going to be ramping up here very shortly, and they do a lot of work to get all the Argyle City and the godly play and the toddler stuff going on for our kids that come up, and there's, you know, like 20 some kids that show up on average on Sunday morning or more. And so we want to pray for them as they gear up for ministry, especially with our children coming up down in September here. Just note, Praise in the Park is an event that's being planned for our city on September 16th. We want to pray for that, and the ministry is there. Already they have had some challenges with some of their, some of the folks are supposed to be coming and playing, where schedules have been just weird and issues have come up. They're still going to have a good Praise in the Park, but I want to pray for things. Things are starting to get in the way of ministry happening there, so we want to pray against that with Praise in the Park. And then in Angola, there's an election happening, and I'm not sure if any of you are aware of that or not, but the president or whoever's been in there has been in there for 36 years or something ridiculously long like that, elected. And now there's an election going on, and when you've got a transfer of power that much for that long, it's dicey, and there's tension in the area and in the country, and so pray for that happening in Angola right now. So are there things that you want us to be praying for, giving thanks to God for this day, this week? Val. Looks great. Perfect. That is an awesome prayer, praise item. So the coworker Val's that we've been praying for it is in a year. We've been praying for her. Is almost done cancer treatment, so just some pills left, but she's looking good. She's feeling healthy. And energy starting to come back, and that's a fantastic thing. Perfect. Anyone else? Yes, Flora. Indeed, we have been praying for them and a good settlement for them. Awesome, they found a good church, Henry and Frey, and the kids looking forward to school, a new maybe. Awesome. So that is good. So we'll keep praying for them, but thank God for the good that He's providing there. Stephen, then Oksana, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But there is still, like, there's improvements that he's seeing and that you guys are seeing, the family, you know, in him. So. Right. Okay. Okay, so we'll continue to keep Brent in prayer and Lori, your mom, and still continue praise for Jim. I mean, that just remarkable, the recovery and the miracle that God's doing there, and we'll pray against this current round of chemo reaction that is not as positive. But we'll do that. Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate that. Anyone else? Oh yeah, sorry, Oksana. Yeah, we've been praying for your mom through the journey of this, but it really has taken a right, and that adds, not being able to hear just compounds things for sure. Yeah, so we'll continue to pray for, especially that her mind would accept well enough to know, yes, I need help, and to find the right place for that to be, a place that will, that she can embrace and that will embrace her. Yep, as we pray for your mom there. Sure. Actually, thanks, Oksana. Anyone else? Thanks, Arnold. We will certainly keep you all in prayer, and the right, God will provide the right place, for the next stage, the next step, and healing. We're still praying healing. Yeah, we will. So we'll pray that. Thank you, Arnold. Anyone else? Well, we'll go to prayer and these things that we've listed and give thanks to God and pray, petition God with these. And as I said, all time, for you to bring things, in your space to God. But also the freedom and permission for you to share those out loud, to pray out loud in that space as well. This is a space for us to come before God as a community, together as one, united in prayer, seeking Him and His hand at what in the world that we need Him to be a part of. Let's pray together. God, I am just so thankful and so in awe of how You work and the things that You do in this world and in the lives of people that I know and people that we connect with, and there's just so much that You do, and we miss it because sometimes we're not looking for it. And I thank You that You draw our attention to it, and we can praise You for that. I also thank You, Lord, and am so humbled and so grateful that we can bring before You the things that weigh heavy on our hearts, the things that are out of our control, the things that we wish we could control but we can't, to bring them before You, trusting and knowing that You are in control, and that You can and You do something about them. And Lord, I pray in saying that, and to remind myself and to remind us as we pray, that we would release
what we want to you, that we would seek what you want, and that we would seek you in that, and look for how you're working, and you will work in ways sometimes that we don't expect or we don't know, or that we wasn't our plan, but it is your plan, and we trust that your plan is good, for you are good, and you are consistent, and so we lift and release and give to you all that will come now, and all that comes to our mind later. Father, thank you that we have people in our church who are passionate about our kids and passionate about investing in them and teaching them and spending time week after week, Sunday after Sunday with lessons and teaching and space for them to be able to hear about you and to learn about you, to have songs and scriptures just embedded in their hearts, that they would grow from a young age to be young people and men and women who love you. And so, Lord, I thank you for our volunteers. And I thank you for our leaders and our children's ministry. I pray, Lord, that you would give them an abundant energy this year, that you would just give them an abundant enthusiasm, and that constantly and daily you would show how you are growing and bringing about fruit in the labors that they are doing. Lord, I pray that would be an encouragement for them. Father, thank you for the praise that has been brought by Val, that her coworker who we've been praying for so long is coming through her cancer well. The treatments have gone well, that she is returning to health. Lord, I pray that as she just finishes up with the medication that she's on, the last little bit, that her body would be strong enough to carry through that, to not have to go back, that there would be no more cancer. And God, that her health and her strength and her energy would all return, and that she would be able to live well. And so we thank you for the work that you've been doing there and will continue to do in her life. Lord, thank you for that you brought Henry and Faye and the family safely to Vancouver. Again, we thank you for the good job for Faye. Thank you for the church that they can find, that they're able to engage with other believers and engage with you and meet with you. Lord, I thank you for the excitement the kids have to be able to go to a new school. And Lord, I pray that the excitement would just continue on. They would be thrilled to make new friends, and that they would find new and good ones there for the kids and for Henry and Faye as well. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to bless them in that. Lord, thank you for your continued work in Jim's health. Thank you that you have miraculously healed him. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to push him along on this steep incline of health that is just remarkable and miraculous, for you have done good work there. Lord, I pray that his body would react strongly, well to this latest round of treatment that he's on, that the side effects and the sicknesses would not stay, would not linger, but would be dealt with quickly, and that he would continue to improve in his health remarkably and visibly, and that you would be honored in that. In the same vein, we pray as well for Brent. Lord, the recovery is slower there, and you know that, but you are doing work in his mind, his brain, what needs to happen for him to recover from the injury, the head injury, the concussion that he received. Lord, I pray that you would heal his brain. You know all the ins and outs and the ups and downs, the synapses and the connections, all the things that need to happen, the intricacies. You know them so well, for you designed it, you created it. And so we trust your hand at work in there. I pray for patience for him. I pray for rest and for patience, and for hope and for, just a positive, spirit for his mom. Lord, and for the rest of the family, I just ask that there would be just a deep sense of trust and a deep sense of your presence in Brent's physical healing, and then just around as the whole family stands beside him. Lord, I just pray for that. Father, I thank you that Oksana has the opportunity to be able to communicate with her mom on a regular basis, but Lord, it is hard. And you know the situation, you know where her mind is at, you know where her hearing is at, you know where her heart and her spirit and her personality and her determination is at. God, I pray that you would work in her mind and work in her heart, work in her spirit to be able to say, yes, I need help And I need to go where I can find it. And Lord, I pray that you would provide the right space for her to be able to go into, the right people to help move her into that space, to transition her there, and that in doing so, she would not at all feel diminished in any way, but that she would feel empowered, because now she's in a space that she needs to be. We pray for her mind. We pray for her healing. We pray for her body, that you would restore that. Lord, I pray for Oksana and Slava here in Canada being so far away. I pray that you would reveal ways that they can be practically helpful, even though so far away. I pray for them, for rest and for peace as well that you would bring. Father, we pray for Arnold and for Bertha. Lord, you know the decline in her body and the decline in her mind and all that is there. Father, I pray that now as they are in a new space of needing to figure out where they need to be to manage the lack of mobility, to manage the space that she is in now, Lord, I pray that that you would bring good answer to those tough decisions, and that you would make those tough decisions easy because you have shown the way. You said this is where. And what I have for you now. And trust me in that. And Lord, I just pray that you would give Arnold the rest that he needs. I pray that you would give him the strength and the courage that he needs, for this next stage. Pray for all the kids, you know, as well as they are close by and distanced away as they do their part to try and help and navigate. But Father, I just pray that you would provide the space, and you would provide the next step, and that all of that would come in, just come well together, pieced together by you in a perfect puzzle that you are creating, that you are showing. And so we look to you, and we trust you in that. Lord, we pray for her mind. We pray for her body. We pray for healing in that. We pray for you to touch into her, and that she would continue to see you and continue to be held by you and to know you, and to put her trust in you. Father, we pray for our city, and we pray for the Praise in the Park event that's being planned and for September 16th. We pray for the bands that are running into problems. We pray for the organizers and the organization that's running into challenges that are difficult. Tells me that you have something good planned for that event, and the enemy is trying to thwart it. And so we pray against that. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ that this would be an event that's protected and an event that isn't just about a concert but is about glorifying your name and making you known to people who need so desperately to know who you are. And for the people who come that know who you are, that it wouldn't just be, oh, well, there's God, that's great, but a deepening of faith and a deepening of understanding of who you are, that in this event, in spite of all of the efforts of the enemy to thwart things, that you would be glorified and your kingdom would be built and that your name would be praised. And Father, we think in our world of all the things that are going on. We think of the Hurricane Harvey in Texas and all the people affected with that. Lord, I pray that you would bring relief to them, and that you would bring relief in that storm, that you would bring it away, that you would put it away. Father, I pray that in that you would just, you know, keep people safe. And Father, we pray for Angola. We pray for the election that's happening there right now. There will be a leadership change, a transition in power, and that is always difficult after such a long period of one person being in power. Lord, I pray for peace in that country. I pray for a good election, as a peaceful transition, a positive transition, and that this would mark a new chapter of a country that is able to grow and to develop and to meet the needs of the people who are part of that country. So we pray for Angola. We pray for the leadership coming up and the transition that's going to happen. And God, I know that there are other things in our hearts and mind that we bring, that you've laid on our hearts that we didn't share or just come to mind as we've prayed. And I want to allow time for us to bring them before you in the quietness of our hearts, or even to boldly speak them out in short, quick sentences, or however that works, Lord. And so this pray that you would hear us as we bring this to you at this time. Lord God, we know that when we bring things to you, when we lay them at your altar, that you pick them up and you care for them and you carry them. That these are things that are not surprising to you in any way. And these are things that are on your heart, part of your cares as much as they are ours. Give us peace, Lord, as we lift them before you. Open our eyes to hear and to see. Open our ears to hear how you are at work in this world. And when seeing that and hearing that we would praise your name. And that you would be honored and you would be glorified among our neighbors and among our nations. And we pray these things in your son's name. Amen. Sounds to me like we're having some further challenges here a little bit. Wait a minute. right? Sort of thing. She doesn't have it. It's kind of like our children today who realize that we're the bank machines and they just don't know that money doesn't grow on trees sometimes. But she's done this. She doesn't know. And so she's about to get her hand cut off. And along comes our hero of the day, Aladdin. And he sees this girl, and for no other reason than the fact that he thinks she's pretty, he goes down and rescues her from this situation. Now, in a very brief moment from that time of, hello, my name is, and I'm not even sure at this point they have actually said who they are, introduced themselves, they then, you know, run across the rooftops a little bit and enter into Aladdin's home, his abode, his place, his room in a broken down, crumbling building, and he says, it's not much, but it's got a great view. And remember that moment, and he pulls across the curtain, and there's the view of the palace that she has just run away from, and she's like, oh yeah, great view, thanks for that. And you remember, are you with me with that scene in the movie? We know where we're at? Okay, perfect. The point of the story, where I want to focus this on a little bit, is what happens next. So they're talking about, you know, how great it would be to be living in the palace. That's Aladdin's dream. And Jasmine's talking about how great it would be to be able to be free from rules and things like that. Again, they still haven't actually introduced themselves. The monkey's annoyed and things like that. And it, right at that moment where they're about to have a moment, the guards rush in and start busting down beams and running into the place. And Aladdin and Jasmine turn, look at the guards, and they say, they're after me. And they look at each other, they're after you? And this is panic. And at that moment, Aladdin, I don't know if you missed it, you notice that Aladdin looks out the window, down the ground. There's like, you know, four stories at least of distance here. He looks down at the ground, and he turns around, and he holds out his hand to Jasmine, and he says, do you trust me? And she looks at him and says, what did you say? He's got his hand, he's on the window, 1 foot there, he reaches down, he looks at her in the eyes, and he's got the little smile, and this is the moment, and later in the movie, this comes back as a revealing thing, and seems like, but he looks down and he says, do you trust me? And her response is interesting. She reaches out, gives a little bit of a kind of a questioning look, a little uncertain, but she goes, yes, and takes his hand, and he promptly jumps them both off the building out the window. Conveniently onto a pile of laundry, which he knew was there, and they promptly get captured. Forgetting that part, but there's an interesting point that we look in this trust idea. Trust is an interesting thing that comes a part of our human nature. Trust is one of those things that is always expected. And you have to trust me when I say that. Right? We trust that people are going to drive the way they're supposed to drive. We trust that people are going to behave the way they're supposed to behave. We trust all sorts of things about people. It's part of our human nature. It's always expected. It's usually given. Just trust that, whatever sort of thing. It's usually given, but it is also very easily lost. And once lost, very, very hard to regain. Trust is a very interesting thing. I want to tell you another story. This happened to me when I was a much younger lad, and I remember this was my first summer out at Catepa Lake Camp, which was then Catepa Baptist Camp, and so I was about 10 years old. And Jolene's gonna know the name of the person I'm gonna throw out here, so don't, you know, I will, you know, exactly, she's between you and me, Jolene, and I'm out at camp, and one of the things that they did was they divided all of us campers into teams. And they said it was for, you know, points and challenges throughout the week. But really what it was a convenient excuse to, you know, figure out who does what chore in the morning. That's all it was. We were divided into these teams. And at the beginning of the week, the very first thing, they had this obstacle course, this team challenge obstacle course set up, and there's all sorts of crazy things that were never safe in anybody's mind or practice at all. And we loved them and we did them. It was great. And there was one, and particularly this is the one I want to focus on, where they had a telephone pole driven into the ground It doesn't exist anymore. If you go to the camp, you won't find it. This telephone pole driven into the ground, and the object of this, and this pole was, you know, eight feet or whatever high. I'm not sure exactly how high. I was 10. Everything's tall at that point, right? And it was a tall pole. The object was to get a tire over top of the pole so that it went down and surrounded the pole. It's kind of like a big ring toss kind of idea. Now, this way it had been set up is that no individual would be able to put that tire over top on their own unless they were Shaquille O'Neal. And even then, he would struggle. So you had to work together as a team to do this, right? You're getting kind of the picture that goes on. Well, our little team of 10-year-old kids and the cabin leader who is there, and that person will remain nameless, but I remember well. The plan was this. We will hoist somebody up on the cabin leader's shoulders, and then the rest of us will muscle this tire up. We're 10. I weigh as much as a wet noodle, and see, the tire weighed more than me, and muscle this tire up to the person who's on the shoulders, who then would put it over top of the tire. Good plan, right? Makes sense. Chrissy is on the shoulders. And we get this tire up to Chrissy. And Chrissy is holding the tire and she's getting it going over top of the pole. And here's the pole and we are standing here. She's on the shoulders on the other side and the tire catches on the top of the pole just a little bit, so it's not working. And so they get a little bit closer and they're pushing, they're shoving, they're trying to get this thing to work and go down. And eventually the tire just gives away all of a sudden and starts to come crashing down. Chrissy on the shoulders does this, which shocks and surprises the staff person who wasn't expecting such a violent move, who promptly does some other equally unhelpful violent move away from this crashing down tire. And Chrissy falls. And in the process of Chrissy falling, she breaks her arm. And that's the sad part of the story. But what happened after Chrissy hit the ground? I remember it because I was standing right there, and I'm convinced she was speaking directly to me, but probably to everybody else that was there as well. She looks up, and the tears are in her eyes, and she looks right, I'm convinced, at me, and she says, "Why didn't you catch me?" There was a trust. She was on that shoulder. She was somehow trusting that this group of 10-year-old wet noodle weighted kids were going to catch her if she fell off of somebody's shoulders from a height through a pole. And we broke that trust. And she broke her arm. But she did come back to camp, finished the week of camp, but it was never quite the same. And she had a little bit of distrust now for that cabin leader and really for the rest of us. What I'm wanting to get here is there's a lot of work. There's a lot of effort that's put into trying to build trust between people. We have, you know, trust falls and corporations get building things together to build trust amongst one another. And there's all these things to try and do that. And it's an important part of our working relationships. It's an important part of our personal relationships, our marriages, all these things to build trust with one another. And so we want to have this idea of trust. We want to figure out how do we build that. And we spend so much time trying to create trust that once it's lost, and that can happen in so many different ways, that was hard to get it back. Can you relate with me a little bit? Can you identify a moment in your time, your space, where you have trusted, you have put your trust in someone, and that trust has been broken, and now you find it difficult to do that? Can you relate with me where you can remember a time in your own life where someone has put their trust in you, and you have broken that trust, and now you are spending years or whatever efforts to try and regain that trust? Sometimes when we lose trust, when it is broken, when we have an issue with trust, with someone has broken our trust down the road, that person is no longer part of our lives, but that trust now becomes an issue. And because this happened over here, I now don't trust anybody when it comes to this kind of situation. But yet, until that happens, we very easily give our trust away. Trust is also a key part of our faith. Faith is really trust in so many ways. And faith then at the heart of people who would then say there is no God, there's no faith, what are you doing believing on things, is not a position of disbelief. It is a position of distrust. The question that they're asking isn't, is there a God? The question they're really asking is, why should I trust him? And that's a question sometimes we wrestle with. Why should I trust God? Why should I trust what he says when he says it? And that's a good question. Okay. No, I love it. Working is great. I'm sorry. If you have to go to the bathroom, you can't now. If we could let the kids downstairs know, the folks downstairs know about that. I love things like this just happens good. I was speaking at camp. Did I tell you there was a mouse that ran back and forth and all the campers kept watching this mouse? Man, it was hard for me to focus because I kept looking at the mouse too. Trust. The question I want us to wrestle with, the question that this psalm, that our psalm today, Psalm 91, wrestles with us is, why should I trust God? Man, that's a tough question. That's a hard question. That I wrote that question down as I was reading through and I was studying, as wrestling through, and I wrote this question down on my page and I went, ouch, this is a tough question. How do I navigate that? How do I wrestle with that? And as I look at the psalm, and I look at what is written here, the stem of the position, or the point of position for the psalmist comes in verse 2. And it says, "This I declare about the Lord, he alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God and I trust him." There's an absolute, there's an emphatic. I'm going to trust God. But he doesn't leave it there. He introduces it with that. He said, this is what I'm going to do. This is how I understand God. This is how I explain it. But I also need to answer the question of why. Why have I put my trust in God? Especially when we look around in a world that says, so many people say, I'm not going to. I'll trust me, but I'm not going to trust God. And the psalmist then goes for the bulk rest of this psalm to answer that question. And he's answering that question partly in response to what has been explored and talked about in the previous psalm, but also just in a big picture for himself. I love how so many of these psalms that we've talked about over the summer have given us big picture things and the psalmist's story, but not necessarily specifics that we can reach out to and take for our own, but invites us to have to explore what are the specifics for me. Right? And so he goes through, he says, he will rescue you from every trap, he'll protect you from every disease, he'll cover you with feathers, he'll shelter you. There's comfort and protection, there's armor, there's this taking away of fear. There's evils on either side that are not going to touch him. All of these things, he's talking as a, you know, when you trust God, this is what's going to happen. But really, he's speaking from his experience. When I trust God, this is what I expect happens. These are the things that God does through all this. You know, he is my refuge. He is my shelter. I don't need to worry about evil. I don't need to worry about the plagues. I don't need to worry about anything. For he will order his angels. And this is great. This is Satan's This was Satan's line against Jesus. Jump off the building. For doesn't scripture say he will cause his angels to look after you and you will not even break your foot? And Jesus says, yeah, he does say that, but not in that context. So back off. But he holds it, you know, they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on stone. You will be victorious. And he's saying things at you, but really he's talking to himself. When I trust God, these are the things that I know about. This is why I trust him, because I know these things. And I look at these lists and I look at them and say, man, I know a lot of people who trust deeply in God, who have experienced sickness, who have experienced the deadly disease, who have experienced the terrors of the night, who have experienced the darkness, who have been a part of the thousand falling, who are plagued by the evil, who do fall and break their foot or their arm, in Chrissy's case. I know these people, and so I wrestle and I look and I say, if this is the reason why I should trust God, then why is it that I see these things happen to people who still do trust God? Which then brings me back to a question of why should I trust God? And I think when we look at this psalm, and as I wrestle through, there's one other part we're going to get to in a minute, but as I look at these verses in this psalm, the psalmist isn't writing a perspective, isn't writing a position that says, okay, once you become a Christian, once you believe in God, once you put your trust there, then the whole of your life is going to be sunshine and daisies. It's going to be great and wonderful. There's going to be no issues, no problems, and everything. That's not what he's preaching. That's not what he's teaching. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is that when you put your trust in God, you're putting your trust in the one who is in control of everything. Now, why does that make a difference? When I know that God is in control of everything, I know that whatever happens to me, God is not beaten or thwarted by it. And there is a bigger, better plan than what I see. And you may think, well, Ryan, how are you going to navigate through that one? And I'm going to say, you know, I read the book of Job. And if ever there was a person who, in trusting fully with God, had everything ripped out, it was Job. And God was not out of control in that. God was in control of all of that, which is a hard lesson, because you think, why would God, who loves me so much, allow these things to happen? But God has a bigger purpose than what we know of. And ours isn't to question necessarily what his purpose is. Ours isn't necessarily to think, okay, God, you did this, but between you and me, this is a better way of going about it. Could you maybe do it differently next time? Ours is to still trust that God is in control of his world, of his creation, of his people. And so we can put our trust in there. And that's what the psalmist is writing in when he says, this I declare, he is my God and I trust him. These are the reasons why that I can identify everything that's possibly bad that could happen to me. God is in control of that and he will look after me and all of that. But then we get to the very end of the psalm, verses 14, 15, and 16, and the psalmist stops talking and he says, but this is just my words. This is what God actually says. And so when you think of somebody saying, you know, coming alongside and say, well, this is Ryan. You should trust Ryan because Ryan's a really nice guy and he's done all of these sorts of things that I've experienced. You should trust him. That carries some weight. But if Ryan then comes along, I come alongside and I say, you should trust me because of these reasons here, that carries a different weight. And God says, this is why you can trust me. The Lord says, he speaks to it himself. He says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them. Now get this. I will be with them in trouble. It doesn't say I will take away trouble. It says I will be with them. I will be with you in trouble. Present. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. God says, promises. I will be present. I am trustworthy. And because God is the only one in all of creation who has never lied or been proven false in how he has dealt with people, we can then be confident in putting our trust in him. I would encourage you this week, and this is something that I need to do. I have some trust issues. Some of them are minor, some of them are bigger. I'm not a good passenger. I have trust issues with other people driving. But that's a minor one. I have some other ones too that God works on me in a daily way. But I would encourage you this week to take time during your quiet time with God to explore and to answer for yourself why it is that you do in fact trust God. Why is it that you have placed your trust in him? What does he do? How has he responded? How has he shown that? How has, for lack of a better phrase, and it's not a really good one, but how has he earned that in your mind? Let those answers build into strengthening your foundation of faith. And in this morning, I want to say, if you're not in a position, maybe you're not in a position of being able to trust God. Maybe that's not where you're at. Maybe you're in a position that says, I don't know if I can trust God at the moment. Ask yourself that same question. Why can't you? Why not? What have you experienced about him that is causing you to not be able to trust him? What is getting in the way of hearing and seeing that God promises to always be with you? What is getting in the way of experiencing him in your life? And as you explore those things, then I would challenge you that maybe now is that time to give that experience, give that moment, give that whatever back to God and risk trusting him again. Anytime we trust someone, we take a risk. But that risk is so worth it when we experience being able to trust and be trusted. It's risky, but it's so worth it. Risk trusting God again, or maybe for the first time, and see where he will be faithful, where he'll be good and true to that promise that he has made. I will be. I will rescue. I will protect. I will answer. I will be with. I will rescue. I will reward. I will. There is no try in this. It is absolute and promise. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for your consistency. I thank you for your promise. I thank you that you are faithful. I thank you that you are consistent.